Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. Now today we're going to continue on our series, The Sermon on the Mount. Look at a beautiful passage of scripture here, just three little verses, Matthew 6 verses 19 through 21. And we see here, Jesus is asking us to consider our heart's attitude. Our heart's attitude in where our security, where our treasure, where our fulfillment is. Let me just read through this, and I'm going to just bring forward three quick points as we have a look at these things. Verse 19 of Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So what we see here, the central message of this, as I alluded to before, is your heart's attitude. Because true security, it doesn't come from things of this earth. I'm just going to say it outright. For someone who has had both a lot and also a little, true security does not come from things of this earth. It does not come from accumulating wealth, but it comes from investing in our treasures in heaven. And this is probably illustrated best in Luke chapter 12, the parable of the rich fool, where Jesus said to him after he was accumulating wealth and building the barns and stacking them with overflow, and Jesus said, "You fool, tonight, this night, your soul will be required of you in heaven." And it was all gone from him. So as we look at this, let me just quickly clarify, if I may, treasures in heaven. Treasures on earth and then treasures in heaven. Treasures on earth here are temporary. They are vulnerable. Even the most fine clothing, the best suit, is vulnerable to moth and decay. Even our most prized possessions, even in our garage, and I live out here in the country away from the salt air, but it is subject to rust and destruction. Even our most fine jewels, our watches and our jewelry and the things handed down from generations, secured here within our homes, are subject to theft and loss. Our homes themselves, so many of these things that we grasp hold of, our wealth, our income, our bank account, our stocks, our investment portfolio, if that's your thing, none of this is guaranteed. But our heavenly treasure is eternal. Our heavenly treasure is imperishable. It is beyond the reach of decay. It is beyond the reach of loss. It is beyond the reach of the thieves. And so here we question today. I question, you question, I hope you will join with me as we question our hearts focused. Do we follow our treasure here on earth, or do we seek for treasure in heaven? Because our heart will follow that treasure. And where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. What I want to do today is just give you three very quick points and ask the question, how do we lay up treasures in heaven? I'd like you to give some thought to these as we go. Number one, invest in your relationship in Christ. Now, I say Christ, not God. Yes, same, but I say Christ simply because being both man and God, his feet touched this ground. He experienced loss as we do. He experienced temptation as we do. He experienced death as we will. He experienced the full range of human emotion as we do. Yet in him, through the Holy Spirit, the power of God within overcame all, even death at the cross, that we now being born again, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that now dwells in us, gives us victory. He experienced these things. And this is why I say, number one, invest in your relationship with Christ. I want you to start, if you don't already, prioritize prayer. Prioritize reading and study of the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by instruction of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, or woman, of course, may be what? Complete. May be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This has to be our number one priority. And this scripture is often used, sometimes against us, by, sadly, by those in leadership in church. I'm asking you to put that aside for the moment because, yes, I need to correct you, the Bible says. Put that aside just for one moment. They have their place. It does too. But this is right now you. This is you and the Lord as you invest in your relationship with God. See, the Holy Scriptures here, which we see, we call it the Bible, we call it the Word of God. It reveals Christ to us. We cannot get to know Him intimately without prayer in the Holy Spirit and without reading and Bible study. We must. So that's point number one. How do we lay up our treasures in heaven? We invest in our relationship with Christ. Number two, pursue righteousness. Now this is in our manner of walking, our manner of living. It's a matter of flipping the coin from pursuing our security in things of this world to pursuing our security and our trust and our foundation in things of heaven in Jesus. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God, and what? And His righteousness, and then all things shall be added to you." It starts with seeking Him first and His righteousness, and then, rather than finding our security in seeking and our heart chasing after things of this world and this earth, we seek Him first, because then and then everything's come from there. We need to learn to obey God's commands. We need to understand that the words which are written here in this book for us are good for instruction, good for correction, and we can correct ourselves by learning from it and reading from it and through prayer and understanding. Have a quick look over, if you would. Bookmark this. Come back in a minute. The book of Titus, chapter 2, from verse 11. Let me just quickly read this. Paul writes here, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." This is the grace of God. This is Jesus who came, who gave of Himself and died on that cross a horrible death for our sins, that righteousness of His may come upon now us, that we might be born again. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us now, that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Here's our instruction. How do we live righteously? Number one, we denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. The lusts are the things of the heart that we desire. And that we should live soberly, using wisdom, wise. We should live righteousness. There's plenty of instruction in the Bible about how, you know, walking in the Spirit versus walking in the flesh. Godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, how many of us have lost this? This helps keep us in. How many of us believers, followers of Christ, have lost that beautiful, blessed hope that He might redeem us, even return in this time, that we should not have to go through the pangs of death? Now, I know this is a generational thing. Every generation, I've thought, oh, Jesus is going to return in my time. Jesus is going to return in my time. I mean, He did say, "Behold, I am coming back soon." Define soon. But if you have any wisdom at all, and you are a student of the Bible, you would see the prophecy that is in there, and you would look outside into the world, and you would see what's happening out there and go, oh boy, Jesus, this has got to be getting close. Got to be getting close. The signs are there. But that shifts our focus. Why is it important? Because it shifts our heart's focus to our blessed hope of our Lord and our Savior and His coming. It shifts our focus. Verse 14, of Jesus who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed. We can do this with Him. and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Folks, you can live righteously with him, with the help of the Holy Spirit. You can. I promise you, from a man who was most ungodly in his behavior in so many different areas, horrible man, that God has taken me by his grace and lifted me up and granted me opportunity as I prayed, God, do not let me die until I am right with you. That was my heart's attitude. It still is, that I might continue on that path, the narrow road, forever and ever. Amen. But I promise you that when you look unto Jesus and allow the work of the Holy Spirit in your life to take place, it truly will shift your focus and your heart's attitude. And so now moving on, point three, I want you to be generous. I want you to invest in others. Use your resources to bless others. And I have a note here, 1 Timothy 6 verses 18, 19 says, let them, that's us, do good that they be rich in good works. Notice rich in good works, not rich in rich, rich in money, rich in property, rich in possessions. No, rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. And brothers, sisters, let me say this very plainly, clearly, these good works, you are not justified by them. Your ticket to heaven, if I can say that, is not through them. Your salvation is made secure through Christ. By the grace we are saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But what is the point? What is the purpose of the works? Well, they serve a number of purposes. Firstly, and most importantly, they show your heart's attitude. And I will just say this right out, because I know that some of us are listening to teaching from pastors and prosperity doctrine. Understand this, that what you do with the resources that God gives you determines your heart's attitude. It's not even really about how much you give away. I question often how much you keep. Because God says he will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. Praise God. All of our needs. And then our needs, once met, must be used to then help others' needs. And if you need a car to get from point A to point B, it doesn't need to have a Mercedes-Benz logo attached to it. It just doesn't. If you need to fly for business or for work, you can do that without owning your own jet. You truly can. I've done it many times. And so we look here at our heart's attitude, and we look to support missions, and we help the poor, investing in God's kingdom. We see this in Matthew 16 through some of the parables, even one, the parable of the unjust steward, who dealt even better with things given to him than the sons of light, it says, Jesus said. But in the unjust steward, Jesus speaks about using money, unrighteous mammon, as it's called here, and as the text in the New King James. He speaks of using it to bring others into heaven, that they may be there to greet you. That is the point and purpose of the resources that God should share to you. But they are not the point, and they are not the purpose when they are for you. And so here we see in beautiful summary, Jesus teaching us to focus on heavenly treasures rather than earthly ones, because the earthly treasures, they are fleeting, whereas heavenly treasures are eternal. And I give to you a call to look at, to consider, maybe even reassess your priorities, to invest in what truly matters, to live for God's kingdom. What is your desire as your first point? And to pray, to seek wisdom from Scripture, from God. Have the courage to live by his word, to live in that righteous manner. Because then, even then, you become a light for Christ and you are not hidden under that basket. A man or a woman who is not of reproach in the world or in Christ. So here's a couple of questions. If we're having a round table, we sit and we talk about them over coffee. Number one, ask yourself, where is my heart's treasure stored? Is it with things here on earth? Is it with where I live? Is it with any of my possessions? Is it with my wealth, my income, my bank account? Is it with my stock portfolio? Is it with my family? Where is my heart's desire number one? Is it for Christ or is it for yourself? What can you do, number two, to invest more in relationships? Here, building up men and women of faith, to be generous and to live in such manner. And then what changes? What changes can you make? What changes can you make to ensure that your heart is aligned with heavenly priorities? This is what we see here. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in, I got that wrong, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, sorry about that, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All right. Brother, sister, thank you so much for listening. I pray you'll have a blessed week. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.